Welcome one and all to our Wednesday evening church service on this 19th of November 2014. Welcome to those that are listening on the phone and to those to the recording. And we appreciate you choosing to join with us tonight. Our opening song is entitled Blessed Assurance. And the lyrics can be found on our website at lightministries.com/ID1914.htm. Blessed Assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And what a joy it is, dear ones, to praise our Savior. And to do so with a song in our heart all the day long. I invite you to please bow your heads and your knees for opening prayer to tonight's service. Our precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for being with us throughout the first part of this week. Thank you for your traveling mercies. Thank you for your watchful care and divine protection and guidance. Thank you for ruling and overruling in all of our affairs and also the affairs of those affecting us in any way. And we thank you so very much that you are in control. I pray, dear Father, that your presence will be here with us tonight. Please bring the joy and the light and the divine beauty of thy presence to be with us tonight. We also pray for the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit to be abiding guests with each listening heart and to dwell in our hearts. And please open our understanding so that we may be able to behold greater wondrous things out of thy word of inspiration. Indeed, help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tonight. And thank you so much for doing so. I pray, dear Father, that you'll be with all of our church members, all of those that are attending our services, and I pray that you will bless them in a mighty way, that you will continue to increase their knowledge. And please, dear Father, I pray that you will help each one of us to put away sin, to put away self, that we might be clothed in the righteousness of Christ and have him living through us, so that we may indeed be drawing closer together to one another, farther and farther away from the devil and any of his devious ways, any of his divisive ways. And instead, we can be pressing together in greater love and unity because we're looking upward to our Savior and not looking downward. So we thank you for being here with us. Thank you for opening our understanding. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So welcome again, dear ones, and let us get into our study article for tonight. We're continuing in the review article of January 16, 1900, and this is entitled, Live Peaceably. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And last time we left off with the understanding that we're to be Christ-like even to those of our enemies. But in order to have peace, we're not to cover up the faults of those whom we see in error. And this is because the example that the Savior gave us is that he would never purchase peace by covering up iniquity or by compromising with iniquity. He would never do that and never did. And thus, in following his example, we cannot do the same either. So while we're to be a friend of sinners, and sinners can be even those among our own home church brethren, because we're not above committing sin, especially in times of weaknesses. So Christ was a friend of sinners. We're to be a friend of sinners, no matter where they may be found. But just as Christ would not remain silent while his friends were pursuing a course that would ruin their souls, so then we cannot remain silent either. And so now we come down to the next paragraph, which is entitled, Those Who Love Jesus. And that's where we'll start tonight. Those who love Jesus and the souls for whom he had died will follow after the things which make for peace. But they must take care lest in their efforts to prevent discord they surrender truth, lest in warding off division they sacrifice principle. True brotherhood can never be maintained by compromising principles. So if you know that what your brother or sister is doing wrong, and yet you will not bring it to their attention because you're afraid of how they're going to react to it, or perhaps it's going to disturb the peace of the rest of the brethren, we cannot allow whatever consequences may come prevent us from going to them and pointing out their sins. If we do so, then we have sacrificed principle in order to maintain peace. But it's actually peace with what? If someone is committing wrongs and you remain silent regarding it, then you're actually making peace with that wrong. And that makes you a co-partner with the wrong. So we cannot be peacemakers with sin. We cannot be peacemakers with determined sinners. And we must take care lest in trying to retain peace among our home church members, in trying to prevent discord and division among us, we become united with the sinner in remaining silent. And that is a temptation. And many choose to sacrifice principle because they fear the consequences of exposing sin. But dear ones, we cannot be afraid to follow the example of our Savior. He was a stern reprover of all vice, of all sin. And he loved the sinner too much to allow them to continue in sin without meeting reproof. And we must love the souls of others as much as our Savior and not allow them to continue in sin for the sake of keeping our friendship with them or perhaps our union with them. Or whatever else may be the consequence. So follow God. Don't allow sin to be unreproved among your friends, among your family members, among your church family members. And leave the consequences of following God with God. If those whom you reprove become hurt in feelings, grumble and complain to others, cause a whole bunch of problems because pride has been offended, leave the consequences with God. The individuals are just making it very evident that they're not converted. Because they do not know how to receive reproof. Those who are wise appreciate reproof because it makes them wiser. It points something out to them that they were unaware of before. And now they're that much more wiser and can remedy the situation with the help of Christ. So we're living in a day and age too close to the second coming to remain silent and allow our loved ones to continue on without reproof if we see them committing sin. Now, if you've reproved them already and there's no change, then you ask God whether you should continue reproving them, because in Titus 3:10 it says after one or two admonitions, don't continue to admonish them, but hold off. So that is something you have to go to God for, his wisdom to know whether to continue with the reproof or not. So we must take care lest in our efforts to prevent discord, we sacrifice truth in trying to ward off division. Continuing. true brotherhood can never be maintained by compromising principles. As Christians approach the Christ-like model and become pure in spirit and action, they will feel the venom of the serpent. So as we become more Christ-like, as we become more pure in spirit and action, then we're going to feel the devil's wrath manifested to us through his agents, whether or not they realize they are his agents. Now you notice it says here that the closer they come to representing Christ, the Christ-like model, and become pure in spirit and action. So it's not just pure in their own person, but it's also pure in their actions. And one of the actions that we're talking about here in this article is reproving those who are committing sin. So once we remove the gigantic beam out of our own eye so that we can see clearly, we become more Christ-like. And part of that is reproving sin we see in others, making sure we're not committing the same sins ourselves and thus be a hypocrite, but making sure we're not committing the same sin and then out of love reprove those who are committing that sin. In doing so, we're going to receive the devil's wrath. And it's going to be manifested against us through individuals that we would never think it would come from. And dear ones, that's part of God's plan. His plan is to spread the truth, and the truth being received in the heart is manifested through repentance and gratefulness for the truth. That shows you that the power controlling that individual's heart is power from God, and thus they're honest in heart. But you're also going to receive a different kind of spirit being manifested towards you when you have to reprove that individual for something they're doing wrong. And so the truth that is rejected in the heart is manifested through anger, through rejection, through false accusations, through a turning around of the issue back onto yourselves. And that's the devil's favorite thing to do. When you go to someone and you're proving a point, you're bringing out the truth to them, if they don't like the truth, they immediately turn the issue away from them and accuse you of doing something wrong. Well, if you knew this, why didn't you come and let me know earlier? Why did you wait for so long? What kind of selfish motive was that to let me go on in sin for all this time when you could have reproved me for it months ago? They take the issue of them doing wrong, and now they turn it around and make you the focus of an attack. That is self defending itself against an attack. Was it an attack to begin with? No. It was revealing the truth to them. That's not an attack. That's out of love for their soul. But because they're full of self and less of Jesus, they viewed it as an attack against them. Paul had to meet the same spirit within the churches of Christianity. Some of the churches he helped to raise up. He had to meet this kind of selfish defense mechanism among the members of the church. And he said, I believe it's in Galatians, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? He brought the truth to them that exposed their sins, and they looked upon him as attacking them, and thus viewed him as an enemy instead of as a friend. We're going to meet the same type of spirit, and it may come from individuals that we would least expect it to come from. Amen. That's the carnal heart. It's not spiritual. It's still fleshly. It's not of God. It's of the devil. But dear ones, regardless of the consequences, we still, out of love for their soul, need to bring them the truth about their actions being out of harmony with God's word. And if we refuse to do so, then we're not being like our Savior. We're trying to cover up their actions because we fear what kind of consequences will come if we expose them. But let us care more on what God would have us do and not what we would want to do. God says, show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins, whether they will hear or forbear. And that's what we need to do today, dear ones, especially as we see the nearness of Christ's return. So as you and I and other Christians approach being more Christ-like, becoming pure and purer in spirit and in action, then we will feel the venom of the serpent. Continuing. The opposition of the children of disobedience is excited by a Christianity that is spiritual. So where are these children of disobedience to be found in? Where are they residing in? They may be residing in our own home. They may be residing as part of our relatives or friends or community or neighbors or even amongst our home church brethren. Just because they profess to follow the same faith doesn't mean they are truly converted and Christ-like in heart. So how are we going to know the difference between those who are children of God versus those who are children of disobedience? By how they react to the truth, especially the truth about themselves. Amen. If self gets in the way, then they're going to manifest that they are not Christ-like yet. They still have growing to do. Amen. It's by their fruits that we shall know them, and they shall know us. So what if some of our own church family or some of our own family members react in a way that shows that they're unconverted? What are we to do about it? What if they get angry and yell in our faces? we have to remain Christ-like. Yelling isn't going to accomplish anything if you yell back. In fact, it's only going to lower yourself down to their level. It's going to make you just like them. So if they get up in your face and yell at you, you can't yell back, because then you don't have the peace of God manifested in your heart. You're riled up. And that's not peaceful. What if when you go to talk to them, they become louder? And thus there's the temptation to become louder than them so you can try to get your point over to them. Don't give in to the temptation to raise your voice. Amen. There's a time to speak and a time to remain silent. And if they're yelling at you, they are definitely not in a proper attitude to listen to anything you have to share in the first place. So then remaining silent is the best way to combat an individual who's angry. This means that before we talk to an individual and reprove them for their sins, we must make sure through prayer and communication with God that we're composed. If we just rush in without making sure we pray to God for help and grace and strength to remain a Christian, then we're on our own and we're going to make a mess of things. And there's nothing worse than reproving someone for their sins, but then messing up and committing a sin yourself. And thus you're having to apologize to them for committing a sin when you're trying to bring to their attention a sin that they need to apologize for. Your apology for doing wrong is only going to embolden them to remain impenitent, because they're going to then be led to believe that you're the one at fault and they're innocent. So you must be in an attitude of prayer. You must be hid in Christ before you go to the individual and point out their sins. And that way you know that God is going to give you the words to say, and He's also going to give you the attitude and the composure and the peace that you need to reach that individual, if they can be reached. And if they can't be reached, if they react in a wrong way, then at least God will keep you composed to where the only issue that's brought up is that they have done something wrong against God and His law, and they need to examine it and repent for it. Even if they refuse to do so. Amen. I mean, there's a comment in the room that says, if there's no ammunition, the flame dies out. No fuel, there's no flame. And that's very true, but you can have individuals that have a whole lot of selfish fuel that they just have to spread far and wide and let burn. And so you may reprove them one time, but yet there's so much animosity within them that they may continue a one-sided battle for years because self is so big within them. How dare someone reprove me? I'm going to make sure that their reputation is ruined. I'm going to smear them all over the community and the internet. I'm going to do everything I possibly can to bring them down. So then you know good and well that the devil is working through them, fueling their hatred of you because you dared point out a wrong in them. And so in that instance, the ammunition comes directly from the pit of hell. And we know that the devil never sleeps. So even though you may never say another word to them, yet he's going to give them as much fuel as they need. He's going to keep self agitated and irritated in them until maybe their dying breath. The devil still hates Christ, and he'll continue to hate him until he's burned up in the lake of fire. So there's much fuel in Satan, and he's going to give that fuel to his agents to come against God's followers. And that just exposes hearts. When you see someone continuing a one-sided battle, they're definitely not following Christ. And that's a good question. The comment in the room, it says, I don't know why those people can't see their sins. And that's an excellent question. There's a term called self-deception. And it's like the type of glasses that they wear are only tinted to where they see others, but not themselves. So they never look in a mirror. They always view everyone else in comparison to what they desire or what their needs are. But they never examine themselves to find out if their desires and needs are in harmony with God's will or not. They just view everyone else according to their own standard. And so when they do something, they view it as being absolutely necessary for their good. But they don't take the time to examine whether their good is in harmony with what God says is good. And that's also true. I mean, it can be very difficult to see our own sin. But that's why the Bible says to examine ourselves to know whether we are in the faith or not. It didn't say to examine everyone else to see whether they're in the faith. It says examine yourselves to see if you are in the faith or not. So we have to take time to examine our actions, examine our motives, examine our words, and compare them to the great standard of righteousness, which is God's word, his law. If it stands the test, then we know that what we've done is okay. If it doesn't stand the test, then we know that what we've done is wrong, out of harmony with God's will, and thus we need to repent of it. And if we've manifested this wrong action or words or motives towards someone else, then we need to go to them and ask for their forgiveness. So that all comes from self-examination, from an honest heart. But you also have individuals that don't have an honest heart. They have a dishonest heart. And the problem comes with a dishonest heart claiming to be a follower of God. And how are we going to know whether they have an honest or dishonest heart? through the truth. How do they respond to the truth? How do they respond to the truth when it exposes their mistakes and errors, their sins? Do they back up their profession that they love the truth above all else? Or do they expose that their profession is false? Because they don't love this particular truth that points out their sins. They may love every other truth, but not this one. And if you don't love the truth, then you don't love Christ. And if you don't love Christ, then you're not his follower. I mean, it's just that simple. And if you don't love the truth, then you're going to be lost. You're going to be caused to believe the lie and receive damnation because you didn't love the truth. So the opposition of the children of disobedience is excited by a Christianity that is spiritual. Continuing. At this crisis is the time to decide who are God's faithful servants, who will be true to principle, who will bear in mind that truth is too dearly purchased for its least principle to be surrendered. That peace and harmony which are secured by mutual concessions to avoid all differences of opinion are not worthy of the name. What did that say? Peace and harmony which are secured by mutual concessions to avoid all differences of opinion are not worthy of the name Christian. On points of feeling between man and man, concessions should sometimes be made. Now, this is dealing with feeling. But never should one iota of principle be sacrificed to obtain harmony. All our words and actions pass in review before God, and if we wish to stand in the judgment as having done all that we could do to exert a correct influence over our fellow men, we must return kind acts for acts of mischief and malice. Christ is our pattern. We must follow him. So if we want to be able to stand in the judgment declared innocent, then we need to do everything that we possibly can do to exert a correct influence over our fellow men and women. And if they mistreat us, we must be kind to them. If they malign us, we must be courteous and Christian to them. But never are we to remain silent and allow them to continue on in sin without pointing it out to them. So, dear ones, all who live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution, and some of that persecution is going to come from those whom you would never expect it to come from those of the same household or those of the same household of faith, because it all depends on who rules in your heart. Is it Christ? Then you're going to thank him for pointing out your sins and bringing you the truth. But if it's selfishness and the devil, then you're going to be hurt that someone has pointed out a wrong in you. So then what are we going to do? it is better to serve God than to be afraid of what men can do or what women can do to you. And may God help each one of us to stand for Him regardless of the cost. And this is my prayer. Are there any thoughts, any comments, or any other questions, dear ones, before we open it up to a season of prayer on this Wednesday evening meeting? Please feel free to do so. Amen. Amen. A comment in the room, it says, the only peaceful place is with God. And that is absolutely true. And knowing that you have followed the will of God and that He's in control gives you His peace. And His peace is worth whatever opposition we may receive. That's how the martyrs could remain unmoved while they were burning at the stake or being tortured on the rack. That's how Christ could remain unmoved while there were many false witnesses accusing Him of all kinds of malicious and wicked evils before the rulers. And dear ones, that's how we can remain unmoved even though we experience the ire of the devil through his agents, even if these agents are our family members or closest friends or fellow brothers and sisters of the faith or our neighbors. It's that internal peace that can help us to remain steadfast because we know we've done the will of God and thus we have God on our side. And that is true, sister. Family can be our worst enemies. And sometimes they are. Those closest to you can become your worst enemies. But it's manifesting the true spirit that controls their heart. And maybe, just maybe, that will wake them up. If you never gave them the truth, then that spirit would not have manifested as ugly as it did. But in giving the truth, and that spirit is manifested as ugly as it is, that may just be what wakes them up. And again, that is all in God's plan, to preach the truth, and even opposition to the truth can be enough to awaken the opposers to say, what am I doing? I've never acted this way before. Why am I acting this way now? Why do I have such intense hatred for what this person said? That may be enough to wake them up.
Bow your head, please, and join me in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we're so thankful that there is a quiet place with you. And when we're pushed around and stomped on by others for seemingly no reason, we know that there's a devilish impulse in them. And help us to turn at that point to you. And to learn about how Christ handled the situation and to cling to what Christ did. And Father, we ask for the special patience and fortitude and the strength to keep holding on to your hand so that the enemy cannot knock us down. Most of all, let our minds reason that we are in this world to show your character to others, and that our only reason for being here is to tell others about Christ. We can't really make any difference unless we have a Christ-like spirit in us. So to that end, Father, help us to study more, to go more into that quiet place with you so we can be prepared to meet the enemy. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers and for giving us all the ammunition that we need and for loving us so much that you died for us. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
My dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much that you are in control of all things. I pray, dear Father, that we may more and more come under your control, more and more have you living and working through us, more and more having our lips touched with the live coal from off the heavenly altar, so that the words that we share with one another, even if it's pointing out wrongs and sins in them, can be words that are filled with love and concern for their soul salvation. Help us, Father, to indeed become more and more selfless, so that our words will not be tainted in any way with selfishness or with self-exaltation over others, or putting ourselves above them and speaking down to them, but instead coming to them as an equal, for we're all sinners. Coming to them out of love and concern for their salvation, their welfare. Help us to manifest Jesus to them so that they can see and know that we don't come to them from any ulterior motives, but instead we come to them because we want to help. We want to build them up. And if, Father, in our best efforts, with your help and grace, they still turn against us, then you know all about it. You see it all. You read all hearts and motives. And thus you can take care of whatever consequences come. And we can truly rest in your love. So, Father, please continue to spread your truth far and wide. Continue to exalt your law and your Son around the world. Continue to reveal the true spirit that is controlling hearts. And help us to see our own heart and what type of spirit we are of. Help us to spend time examining ourselves to make sure that we're in the faith. And dear Father, help us to also notice the fruits that are being manifested by others. And help us, out of love and concern for their welfare, to come to them in pointing out their sins, and not do so because we may have something against them, or because they may have said something about us that is still rankling in our hearts, or for any other motive than to help them. And for this, Father, we need ourselves to be crucified, mortified, and buried within us, so that Jesus and Him alone can be manifested from us to others. So indeed, help us in this. Help us to be more Christ-like. And we thank You so very much for working in us more and more to do of Your good pleasure and not our own. Please be with all of our family members, all of our friends, our neighbors, and especially those that are coming and joining with us in fellowship in this home church. And thank You so much for leading and guiding us into all truth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen, dear ones. And a scripture song comes to mind. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Galatians 2:20. So indeed, help us more and more to crucify self and allow Christ to live through us, so that the life that we live is not our own, but is Christ living through us. And this is my prayer, dear ones. So are there any other songs, any other thoughts, comments, questions, dear ones, you have before we close tonight's meeting? And please feel free to do so.
I'm thinking of a song that happens when we come close to Christ. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Every sin had to go in this world below. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away.
Praise the Lord. That was beautiful. Well, I pray that the Lord will be with one and all, that He'll continue to lead and guide you, that He'll continue to work in your life and allow you to become more and more like the model of our Savior's character. And thus, by becoming more like Him, you can help others to come up to the same exalted position of following their Savior in every way. So may God bless, dear ones. Keep looking up. And we look forward to fellowshipping with you again soon, in just a couple days.